Welcome to A Better HR Business, the podcast that looks at how HR consultants and HR tech firms grow their businesses and how they help their employers to get the best out of their people. Remember, for show notes and downloads, go to www.getmorehrclients.com/podcast. That's getmorehrclients.com/podcast. Okay, let's get started.
Hi, thanks for joining me today. Now, today I want to share a quick little marketing tip which will make it easier for you to market your HR-related business, and that is to segment your audience. Now, segmenting your audience is actually a really great way for you to market and get more cut-through in your marketing for your business. If you're a generalist firm and you don't want to niche down and specialize in a particular sector or industry, so this is a really great method for that. And so what it is, it's around coming up with a few buyer categories, which is just a list of the different types of customer client categories that would be working with you, and coming up with a little bit of background information. Now, all categories are different. They've all got their slight nuances, and that's why it's important to think about this, and that's why it's so powerful, because it lets you adjust your marketing, your messaging, your positioning, the offers you make, all that kind of stuff, whilst just still offering your main services. You can tweak them or adjust them to get more cut through, as I said. When I was doing my HR consulting business, I had several different categories listed on the website, and there were a bunch of different reasons. I'll explain why, but the categories that I had were HR professional in a mid to large company. Then I had the business owner. Then I had office manager / administrator. I had external consultant to companies, student, and then other. So I did this for a few different reasons. One was the HR professionals in the mid to large firms. Well, they've been doing HR all their life or all their career, or whatever. So they're very experienced. They've got a plan, a process, all this sort of stuff. They may not have control of the budget themselves. So they will have a plan and a strategy, but then they'll need to seek permission and buy-in and all that kind of stuff to be able to work with your consulting firm or your software firm or whatever it may be. So they may be able to go grand scale and have big projects and really engage you in all sorts of big and great ways for revenue, but it may take time because there'll be lots of planning and convincing and meetings and more meetings, etc. So this will be a slow process. And when I sold to HR professionals, in some cases, it was a 12-month buying cycle, right? So the first day you get an inquiry or a phone call or whatever, through to actually signing up and then paying the first invoice 12 months later, right? So that's an example of a difference in that particular category. But again, they don't necessarily have the checkbook. So you've got to be aware of that. The other category I had was business owner. So on the flip side, these people do have the checkbook. So if they like what they see and you can offer a solution to their problem, then they could decide there and then, boom, let's just do it. And they can pay up and let's go for it. If it's a small to medium business, then they're less likely to go for the big, huge projects, the enterprise scale stuff. So whereas the HR professionals in a mid to large company, they could spend hundreds of thousands or even millions on your solutions or your services. A small to medium business is not going to have that kind of budget realistically, right? Unless they're Richard Branson, in which case, good luck to you. Well done. The office manager / administrator. Now, they are someone up to 100 headcount, let's say, in a business, and they've been the senior office administrator, manager type person who's been asked to take on HR responsibilities, and not even maybe formally said like that, but they are in charge of hiring or doing some onboarding or getting the handbooks distributed, things like that. So they don't necessarily have a formal background in HR, but they're doing HR stuff. And that's on top of their day job. And that matters because they're so busy, they're swamped, and now they've got to do this other HR stuff. And they're not quite sure of the best way to do it because they've just been asked to do this sort of stuff. It's not like they've got best practices to draw on from their career within the HR industry or sector. So, you know, they're looking for help. Again, they don't have the checkbook, but maybe they can seek, you know, help from the business owner, the business manager, to be able to say, look, can we hire in this consulting firm or this software firm to help me get this job done? Or if you want to offer mentoring or support, things like that, they will have a different need set to the other groups. The external consultant to companies, when I was an HR consultant, there would be other HR consultants or recruiters or learning and development type people. So they would typically be coming to my website or whatever to be looking for partnerships, maybe referral arrangements, things like that. So not actually a customer. So different set of needs and circumstances. So I might have different information available for them. Then I had student, and realistically that was just because I knew that students would be looking around looking for HR stuff to write their essays and get their projects done. You know, so they're never going to buy from me. So I just wanted to segment them out in my database so I could really not be saying, hey, let's have a sales meeting and be booking calls with them to turn out that there's a student who has no budget, no experience, et cetera, et cetera. So that was purely for my administration purposes. And then other was the final category I had in my drop down list. And that was just because there's always some sort of outlier. But those were sort of the categories that I had, and I had different requirements and things like that. So you could think about your business and the way you're offering your services and solutions and who's coming to your website, who's coming to your business, who's coming to your LinkedIn profile, and are there ways to divide them out? Now, that matters, again, because they've all got different needs, requirements, things going on, which means that they will have different stories, pressures going on in their mind. So on your website or when you give talks or on your LinkedIn profile, etc., you can be giving different information for those different audiences, those different segments. So if you have a different landing page on your website, for the HR professionals, mid to large firm, you might talk about your services differently than you would to the office manager, because the office manager doesn't want to hear about your grand scale strategic implementation process. They want to hear about your particular product or service that helps them get a specific piece of work done or take some things off their plate. Same with the business owner. It might be more focused on their specific problems, such as staff turnover, or employee engagement, or whatever it may be. So you can have different pages. You can have different offers. So products or services structured in a finite way, whether that's an information product, a training course, a piece of coaching, which is X period of time, or it could be hourly rates, day rates, tiered packages, software, etc. But you can tailor each one to the different segment or audience. Now, if you wanted to get a bit more advanced, you could think, well, how can you divide these segments up? So I was describing some roles there, but you could have the typical characteristics of their businesses. So maybe it's franchise companies, it's international companies moving from one country to another country. So setting up in a new location, might be headcount, you know, large, medium, small, their main problems. So is it around staff turnover? Is it around staff reduction because maybe AI is reducing their requirements? So how do they plan for that? All kinds of different things. So you can look at ways of segmenting in those regards. Or if you wanted to step things up a notch and get really fancy, you could add some data to the process. And that's where you go to your database or your CRM or your accounting system, and you download all of your past clients and all the work you've done for them, and you stick them into the spreadsheet. We sort them in descending order of revenue. And then we had some columns, and we can look at the average or the total customer revenue by industry or by headcount or by location or by the role of the person who brought you in the first place or by the type of projects you are doing or the use case or the scenario, what they brought you in for. And so we do that quite a lot with companies that have been running and for a while and got a lot of different customers and clients, because you can start to see patterns emerge, and that may say, wow, all of this money is in a particular scenario, or all of this money comes from this key contact. When I say this key contact, I mean this type of key contact, like the business manager, the office manager, the financial manager, the CFO, the CEO, etc. But when you slice and dice it in that way, you just get so much intelligence, so much insight into how your business runs, where the money is, how you can market the business, and then you can put that to the front end, which is the marketing side of things and the positioning, to have different offers or profiles, or structure your website profile, LinkedIn profile, or your business in general in such a way that it has different messages for the different segments. And when you do it that way, it becomes a lot more appealing, attractive to those different segments, because it talks to their immediate needs and requirements. So there's a lot you can be doing with this, but if you are a generalist firm or if you are a specialist firm as well, I think it really pays to have a think about your different segments and what is going on in their minds, their needs, requirements, etc., and then think, how could we reposition either our business or our marketing and sales approach to best meet their needs and their messaging requirements? Food for thought. Let me know how you get on.
Thanks for joining us today on A Better HR Business, the podcast that explores the world of HR consulting and HR tech businesses. For show notes and downloads, go to www.getmorehrclients.com/podcast. That's getmorehrclients.com/podcast. Remember to subscribe and share the show with any friends who are busy growing a HR business. Thanks, and see you next time.